sports betting is now live and legal in the great state of Tennessee. You can make it happen as we have with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you sign up right now, your first bet is risk-free, up to $1,000 back in site credit. If you don't win, seriously, no strings attached. Your first bet, any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet, up to $1,000 back in bonus site credits. You can take another shot at the end zone on the house. It's all made possible with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. We've been playing along and love it, and you will too. It's been kind of the talk of the town around here, FanDuel, and how many different ways you can bet on football. College basketball's rolling now. There's all different kinds of ways to get involved, and you get fast withdrawals with FanDuel as well. When you win, get your money fast. They got the odds boosted, specials, all kind of stuff, a range of betting options, player props, futures. Find whatever bet you're looking for with all the options in the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Download it today. Use our promo code 3OUT. That's promo code 3OUT, so they know we sent you. Promo code 3OUT. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. All right.
Just waiting on the Bill Will to roll in.
Yeah.
So I can place my bets.
So you can get your bets in. He's been on fire so far.
So far, so good. Does he have like a page or something? He could probably make some money just having people sign up for the bets.
We need to put the old Fan Run Radio paywall up and get the Bill Will numbers.
Fan Run Premium.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. I don't know. I know we got big games tonight in college basketball. Are you excited about them? It's kind of a downer that Tennessee – if Tennessee had already played and won some games, I think I'd feel more into basketball.
Agree 100%. I am definitely excited to watch the games tonight, but there is just, I guess, some gloom over the season just because we haven't tipped off yet.
When your team
I'm
wins,
dying to watch our team play.
Yeah, when your team wins, like you're so much into other games happening.
Even
right?
if they're playing.
Yeah.
Especially early in the season.
But yeah, lots of top 25 teams in action tonight. You got
The slate tonight's incredible.
Actually, and it starts, they're playing at Harris Cherokee Center in Asheville, North Carolina, at the Maui, you know, the Maui Invitational in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yep.
It's a weird year.
Yeah.
Texas, who won last night by 2 over Davidson, and they're ranked 17th. They're 2-0. They're playing Indiana today at 1:30 on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. And then you've got 4 o'clock, Virginia's playing St. Francis. I don't know. That's ACC Network. Not a big deal. North Carolina is the next Maui game. They're playing Stanford. That's on ESPN. And then you got Wisconsin in action, Creighton in action. Villanova's playing on ESPN2 at 5 o'clock in whatever Bubbleville is.
Mohegan Sun.
And then
Uncasville.
And then the doubleheader tonight are the big ones, of course. ESPN doubleheader, Michigan State and Duke, and Kentucky, Kansas. So
I do know that the Bill Will is big on Kansas tonight. Mm. Kansas.
I'm just worried that Kentucky's performance was so poor that obviously every metric's going to be that way. But maybe that's just who they are. Like,
well, this is true of Kentucky almost every year. Slow start.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's obviously a young, new team, and then they improve and get better. Did you see the I'll try to find it. It was on Rupp Rafters after they lost to Richmond. It was the 10 steps of Kentucky basketball every season.
No.
Oh, my gosh. It was unbelievable. I'll try to find it. But it was just, like, so perfect. It was like sign a top 5 class, build hype for the season, lose a horrible game to a non-conference opponent, you are here. Then it was like rebound, win a couple of big games, start SEC play, look pretty good, immediately get blasted by Florida or Tennessee. Like it was just absolutely perfect.
All the way through the end of the season?
Like, yeah,
all
it was like
they're losing the tournament?
Losing the Elite Eight, restart the process, yeah.
That's incredible.
I'll try to find that. It was really funny. I'm just jealous that their season is even started.
Yeah,
even though they've lost to Richmond. Like, I just want the season to start. That's the one thing about Tennessee like, you expect it from Kentucky just because they're basically starting a brand new team. I think Tennessee has enough combination of veterans who have played at Tennessee. Obviously, you got EJ Anasicki, who's played a lot of basketball, just not necessarily at Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then enough young, flashing talent. I think Tennessee could have, like, a really good year. And apparently, I think I said this on air, apparently Keon Johnson's incredible. Like, incredible. An assistant coach compared him to Russell Westbrook. When's the last time Tennessee had a guy like that? The only answer I've gotten is Allen Houston.
Yeah.
I just remember when in the SEC tournament championship game, I think it, like the first half we were, you know, right there with Kentucky. We might have even had a small lead. And then they just kept allowing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to drive. And he, you know, he's finishing at the rim. There's nothing you can do about it. I just want a guy like that. It's like, hey, we really need a bucket. Let's not call money. Let's just ISO Keon Johnson and let him get to the rack.
Yeah. That would feel good.
I just want to watch us play. Who's your starting lineup? You got one? Have there been any? I've seen some projections. You think Keon Johnson starts?
Yeah. If he's a lottery pick.
Oh yeah, that's
according to all.
He's up to seventh now.
Right,
in
most
NBA draft projections.
Yeah, Tennessee's not in a position to where they can have guys that are projected lottery picks not start.
Seventh.
Start the first game, or like be like the starter two or three games in.
I think the starting lineup is going to be pretty stable.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be Vescovi.
Okay.
Johnson. James. Pons, Fulkerson. And then you're going to get a lot of Anasicki. You're going to get a lot of Victor Bailey. You're going to get a lot of Springer.
Yeah.
I just like this team. I really like to watch them tonight. Wish I could.
We've got 12 days to go, or 11.
11 days.
Yeah.
But they end their quarantine on the 5th, so they'll get to practice a full week before they host Cincinnati.
That'll be good. I guess the good thing about basketball is with the team's so smaller and closer together. So you would hope that because it's smaller, you can keep the COVID away, and that if you do get some COVID, that it gets...
You get it once and you're done.
Yeah, through the team faster and over with. I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah, I do have a feeling, though, that college basketball's season will be littered with cancellations, postponements, weird things happening. Just get me to the tournament. As a 2 seed. Maybe a 1. If the ball bounces the right way.
The ball bounces the right way.
It's consistent. You know, it's a round ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Put some spin on it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big night, college basketball. I wasn't going to get excited just for the Duke game because I can't let Davey have that joy, but with Kentucky,
no,
Kansas coming up
tonight feels like the official start of college basketball. It just does.
This is what we hated on Davey for his take the other day.
That's the take, man. Whenever the Champions Classic starts, that's when basketball starts.
I don't care. I just all the ranked games. It's not necessarily that it's Duke or Kansas or Michigan State or Kentucky. It's just
every year. That's how
is the
works.
Maui a weekend TV. Later this year? Does it normally end on Thanksgiving weekend?
Everything's weird this year. I don't know.
I may have it wrong. It might always end this weekend. I'm not sure.
Did you see Auburn is now 1-2?
Yeah. Yeah.
Postseason ban.
Well, Bruce he needed a mental break here. Mm. Yeah. Just go ahead and put him on.
Is that right?
Probation. Right. Just lay low for a while. Enjoy the not working that hard, and then they'll bounce back. Holy moly. Tomorrow, Jimmy V Classic. This doesn't look right, but number 5 Illinois against number 2 Baylor.
Number 2 Baylor?
Yeah. Oh, man. Underneath it says cancel Gonzaga, Tennessee.
Yeah. Sorry.
That game didn't tip till 10, though. I can't stay up for that.
Oh, come on. It's the start of the season. What time are we supposed to play?
I won't be
tonight?
Able to get a nap. I got to watch tomorrow? I got to watch the Ravens and the Steelers at 3:45.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
You guys know why they're playing so early, right?
No. Why?
Because NBC had the obligations to view the Rockefeller Christmas show.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever they call that thing. The 88th Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting ceremony. That's what it is. On Wednesday
night,
it'll
feature
performances
they got?
From Dolly Parton, Meghan Trainor, Kelly Clarkson, Brett Eldridge, Tori Kelly, and the Goo Goo Dolls. I know about four of those people.
The Goo Goo Dolls? That's still a thing?
1990 called.
Yeah.
Actually, I do like a lot of
Gonzaga's
them
playing.
Yeah, they had some good stuff.
Gonzaga's playing West Virginia tomorrow at 7.
Was that a reschedule? ESPN. That was the reschedule game?
Yeah. Did you see the story over the weekend?
Mm-mm.
As soon as Tennessee-Gonzaga canceled, Huggins called Gonzaga and said, we'll play. Or called the Jimmy V Classic.
I like Huggy Bear.
He had some contact at ESPN. He's like, we'll take their spot. And they're like, hold on, let us contact Gonzaga. They're like, sounds good. Game set. Play ball.
I saw some COVID warriors saying, like, Bob Huggins needs to stay at home. He's the perfect profile for somebody that'll die from this. It's like, well, maybe he just doesn't care.
Buddy, can't kill Bob Huggins. Guy's immortal.
But yeah,
all he does is, like, drink heavily and coach basketball. Like, he's
So that's the doubleheader. West Virginia Gonzaga at 7 and Illinois Baylor at 10. That's tomorrow night. Of course, tonight you got the two we've already mentioned, Duke, Michigan State, Kansas, Kentucky. Oh, baby. It's here. We just needed a game.
Well, we got a clear protocol.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Friday.
We're just laying in the weeds, just getting rested up. More prep time for our
way
new
to
team
go, Fulmer. Fulmer gets COVID, then Barnes gets COVID.
I know. Quit hanging out together. Hey,
Lady Vols won.
Oh, that's good. Who'd they play?
At what point?
Their first opponent canceled the season.
Really?
Yeah, they were like getting ready to play Tennessee, and then they were like, oh, man, we got some COVID. Yeah, Tennessee, we're not coming, and everyone else, we're not coming either. Whole season canceled.
At what point do we tell Fulmer, hey, buddy, it might be best for you just to kind of take off from here on out, you know?
Well, you're ready to fire Pruitt and Fulmer?
If Fulmer does not
move on. You can't
have
it both ways, man.
No, I can't. If Fulmer does not move on from Pruitt after this year, I'm calling for both their jobs.
Well, there you go. We'll come back with more. It's hour three. Stick with us right here. Optimism Tuesday edition of 3 and Out.
Western Kentucky.
Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. Going to go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines and grab a few calls here. Before the end of the show, we'll give you a last call here. You got 7 minutes. Get your calls in 865-546-8200. If you or a loved one's been injured in an accident, head on over to g3helpme.com. And
yeah, I could have played it off, but
yeah, it's fine. It's g3helpme.com,
not com.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's where you need to go. If you or a loved one's been injured in an accident, get the money you deserve. Over 20 years of experience right here in East Tennessee. It's the law offices of G. Turner Howard III. They'll help you at g3helpme.com. All right, we got DR Vol up first. What's up, buddy? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, guys. Happy Optimism Tuesday.
Thanks, buddy. Got some we got some basketball to watch tonight. Some no-pressure basketball to watch tonight. Just enjoy
speaking
for yourself.
Yeah, we're scouting.
Just high-level basketball. We just get to watch it and not worry about our team just yet.
Ready to watch Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I'm ready for the real pressure basketball, man. I'm so ready for this football season to start. Are we still going to be doing the Vol for Life segments?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because there's plenty of material last night. I went fishing after the decommitment. This is how broken I am with the program. I wasn't even upset. I was more excited to get the screenshot in and post it to that Facebook page. And then I get attacked, and people saying it's because of negative people like me. He decommitted.
So your negativity after he decommitted caused the decommit? Interesting.
Yeah, and you know, that's an interesting theory. And my question was, has nothing to do with the five straight double-digit losses,
mm-mm,
the lack of development, and the turmoil. And they said, no, it's the negativity.
Right, yep.
Guys, my question is, 3 years ago, if you remember when Cade Mays decommitted, that started really a snowball effect and we got Butch out. Do y'all see this could be a little bit similar? I know with Cade, it meant a lot more because of who his dad was. And
forgive me, I thought he decommitted after we fired Butch.
Oh, did he?
I thought so. But no, your point remains, like, because that was one of the things that a lot of people were using as a, well, if you fire a coach, you know, you're going to have to really cobble together a recruiting class. I hate the idea of keeping a coach just for the recruiting class.
We've been over this. It doesn't matter. Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt, even when you fire the coach, Tennessee has always had a top 25 recruiting class.
Yeah, so I guess the point does remain. I mean, but it does kind of, and again, that just shows you how fed up I am with this coach, man. Like, to me, I was positive about it. You know, optimism Tuesday, I was optimistic. Let's just get him out of here, because it does kill that theory these people have about you got to keep them so you can keep Caden Salter and all these. I mean, mm-hmm. Caden Salter's cashed the check, man. He's coming.
Well, I don't know if he's cashed a check. I think he just looks at this roster and says, oh, yeah, I'm starting. I'm starting there.
He just can't stand the thought of not being the starting quarterback at Tennessee. Who wouldn't want to sign up for that?
Yeah, God forbid. I mean, surely they've told him, like, Winky's not coming back. Nobody in their right mind would want to come and play for that guy, would they?
At this point, it'd be very – I mean, apparently he's a good recruiter, but it'd be very tough to sell him as a coach/developer of talent at this point.
Man, it's so easy to recruit against him if you are any coach in the SEC right now, whenever you just have to say, hey, you see Cade Mays, as we were kind of – you were talking about earlier in this call. He was a projected first-round pick before he came to Tennessee. Now, I don't think many people even have him in the top two rounds. And I looked it up. Cade decommitted from Tennessee on November 7th, 2017. So I don't – had we fired Butch at that point?
It was right around there. I can't remember.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I guess I'm a little off on that.
Or even Trey Smith. Like, you just look at these guys that were projected first-round picks, and it's just like, what's Will Friend done with them? And then it's just rough to look at.
Yeah, ruin their draft stock. Guys, last thing before I go, the day's approaching quickly. I know y'all got a lot of sources. Any word on what JG was talking about months ago about the 5th? And I'll hang up and listen.
Basketball getting off of quarantine. Is what
basketball practice.
Yeah.
It's Optimism Tuesday.
Yeah. It's going to be a big Saturday.
Callum says Butch was fired on the 11th. So 4 days before Butch got fired, Cade decommitted.
Really?
Maybe he knew something.
But he didn't commit to Georgia until, like, December, I think it was the 20th.
That's fascinating to me.
I
don't want a bunch of decommits to happen, but, I mean, if you lose two of the next three and the class starts to fall apart, I mean, it just kind of makes the decision pretty easy and obvious, right?
What is it you do here, Jeremy?
Seriously, though, if you lose two of the next three and the class kind of falls apart, like, what's the point?
They'll say to save money, but as we've looked at, it's actually going to be more expensive to keep him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there aren't people that, like, people don't want to go this Saturday, even at 25%.
No, people were trying to give away tickets yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, those tickets are already sold, but still.
Right. I mean, I'm going because I'm going to enjoy hanging out with the people I'm going with, not because I want to watch the football game.
Right.
So it's just like gives us a reason to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have signed up for that before the season, you know? But because they already have the tickets and they're going to go, I will go hang out with them. If we knew the season would be like this before the season, probably just have the party at the house and just watch that game and other games and just do it that way.
Apathy.
I
was on
a... Might be a great time to take the kids, get into a game pretty cheap.
I'll look it up. I saw it on Twitter last night where the Drive for their show ran the poll. It was the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot question of the day. It was, how excited are you for the Florida game? And with 600 votes, 64% said not excited at all, and 27% said not very excited, 5% excited, 4% very excited. And I bet you for that excited crowd, a lot of that's just to hopefully get Pruitt out of here quicker.
How many teams are going to pass us in recruiting? Because we're at 25 right now. So just assuming we have the class finishes rated exactly the way it is now. I mean, North Carolina is going to pass you. They are at your level right now with 17.
I would say anybody within 5 to 10 spots who has five spots to go.
Maybe three.
Depending on who they get.
Yeah. So, I mean, you might fall. Well, you can fall outside the top 20. Maybe.
Davey, what are you going to do if Tennessee wins Saturday? Please hold your laughter until you answer the question.
I mean, I'll be here for a voluntary reaction.
No, no, no. You know what I'm asking you.
I mean, I'll be shocked.
Will you be happy?
It depends on, like, how the game played. Like, if Harrison Bailey comes in and looks like $1 million, and I'm just like, all right, we have a quarterback of the future. Like, this guy. Because if you come in and you beat Florida and it's Harrison Bailey kind of like leading the charge, like, I will think that that guy is a future Heisman candidate. Like, that's pretty much what you're going to have to see for that to happen. I don't think it's a game where you just come out here and Florida plays like the worst game of the last 2 decades. Like, I don't expect to see that. It's like you would actually have to outplay them. And from what I've seen with this team.
Well, right, that's why it's like, okay, if you beat Arkansas, whatever. If you beat Auburn, but if, I mean, Tennessee would have to play so well to beat this Florida team.
I mean,
but if that were to happen.
We haven't beat a top 10 team since.
I know. But if we did.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was using that as an point.
Would you be, like, happy or mad that that would probably secure Pruitt's job for another year?
Probably upset just because. I'm really just trying to wrap my head around.
There's no right. Like, I'm not trying to trap you. There's no right or wrong answer here.
I can't see, no matter what happens, just even as stubborn as he is, a way in which he is able to get his career back on a positive track here at the university. I just, as I'm trying to think of all the possible situations running through my head, I can't see from. Or given what we've seen so far, a situation where that happens. And so it's, I mean, yeah, it definitely secures his future, at least for another year. But I can't be upset with a coach beating Florida whenever it's kind of like a solar eclipse.
Just admire it.
Yeah.
And know you're not going to see it for a long time again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was reading. That's good. There was something just showed up on my timeline where it was the Florida players now, like, they view Kentucky as more of a rival than Tennessee.
Yeah, I saw one of their players, is it Chris Houston, maybe? Said he was asked about the rivalry, and he just said, I've never played against a competitive Tennessee team.
Yeah. And it's just like, I mean, if there's one game every year where I just expect Tennessee just to lay down and just take the kicking, it's usually Florida. I mean, when you saw Pruitt come in here year one, like, that game, the line was single digits. Like, you kind of, Florida wasn't expected to be very good. That was year one of Dan Mullen. And Tennessee just shot themselves in the foot repeatedly.
Yeah, what, we have 4 or 5 turnovers that game?
Something like that. And then last year you go down to Gainesville, and it's probably the worst performance of the season. You get beat 34-3. They don't do anything the entire game. And I mean, this is just the game I'm just used to getting blown out.
If that happens, provided there's, like, hope for the future, like it's Harrison Bailey as the quarterback, I guess, or he's the quarterback for most of the game when we win, I'm just going to be happy because I think it's either going to be some massive 180 from Jeremy Pruitt and the coaching staff between that win and the beginning of next season, or, like, I think there's...
Well, that's what it would take. I think it would take a complete separation from everything they've been to this point to beat Florida.
To beat Florida. I guess the way I look at it is there's a chance that they lose to Florida and A&M and beat Vanderbilt, and he's back next year anyway. So if he's going to be back next year anyway, I'm going to at least enjoy beating Florida, especially if it means we have a quarterback.
Did you see that Derek Mason had a losing record to every team in the SEC East except for Tennessee?
What are you doing?
He brought up Vanderbilt beating them, even though he's not the coach anymore. It's Optimism Tuesday.
You're horrible.
Didn't say for which team.
We'll come back with more. Okay. Stick with this right here on 3 and Out. We got to reprimand David during the break. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw Hard Seltzer. tons of delicious flavors. 5% alcohol by volume won't weigh you down. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Tons of basketball tonight, tomorrow night, NFL game tomorrow afternoon, I think. Hopefully that's still on.
Maybe.
It'd be something for the Steelers to lose this game, you know, ruin the undefeated season. RG3 leading the – because the Ravens got back, like, the running backs and, you know, got their people back. No Lamar Jackson, but, nah, probably won't happen. Hopefully they at least get to play.
RG3, right?
RG3. What if he's just awesome? Quarterback controversy.
Oh, God.
Lamar Jackson hasn't been
as
good
this
year.
He has not had a very good year, even though you said he was better than Michael Vick.
He's still better than Michael Vick.
You jinxed him.
Yeah.
You jinxed him. Very sad. Why would you do that?
Michael Vick had really low expectations because his style was so different. What's weird is Kyler Murray this year...
Do we not think Lamar Jackson had low expectations? There were guys who said he couldn't even play quarterback. They wanted to move to receiver.
Yeah, he did, but he still was incredible last year. I mean, you compare his stats. He had more like passing touchdowns than anybody else. Vic got credit for just being this amazing runner at the quarterback position, even when he, you know, was very average as a passer.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson just kind of come back down to earth this year. I think it's more teams have scouted their offense, and they're just more prepared for what Greg Roman wants to do. And it's like we talked about in the college, man, the half-line offense, there's always that risk that they just won't click as well at some point. Aaron Rodgers a few years ago had a season where he was just outrageous. I mean, his numbers were stupid.
Yeah.
And then the next year, just for same, you know, and people always try and find other reasons. Like, well, the offensive line guy got hurt or what, you know, there are reasons, but I think some of it's just some variability. It's like a shooter getting hot in a basketball game or a whole team getting hot in a basketball game. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it happens. I mean, think how when a guy like Russell Wilson is on fire throwing the football, think how small the margin is on his throws of whether it's complete or incomplete. I mean, it's tiny. He hit that bomb to DK last night. I mean, dropped that thing right in the bucket. If he underthrows it by a foot, it's incomplete. If he overthrows it by 2 feet, incomplete. These guys just get hot sometimes, and it's so the margins are just tiny.
I wish we could have a quarterback get hot.
But Kyler Murray this year, I think it was 2 weeks ago, he was on a better pace than Lamar Jackson was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar Jackson won the MVP at that rate unanimously. But this year, because it had already been done once, Kyler Murray was like maybe third or fourth in the conversation, even though he was just as impressive. It's weird how our own kind of – grading scale for anything in sports just kind of moves up and down mm-hmm. with what others have done, because sports is all comparison. Like
mm-hmm.
if my team goes out and plays really well, but the other team plays a little better and they win, I'm still a loser that day, right? It's
sure.
The same. If my team played terribly and we lost, I'm still just a loser. Like sports is always a who's at the top of the heap. Doesn't matter how if the heap's smaller or big or whatever. Do you think Florida's going to play well this weekend against us?
Don't
they
always?
Do you think they'll have kind of a ho-hum? You think they'll kind of be like biding their time for bigger games and kind of go through the motions?
Don't they only have two left?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good question.
I mean, they're
question.
Already in the championship game, right? Like, they just have to win one of these two, I guess.
I mean, they're going
to
be looking for style points. I mean, for if Why? They do get beat by, well, if they get beat by Alabama, they got to
surely
make...
two losses. It wouldn't matter, right? Like, would a two-loss SEC team get in?
Yeah, I think they're one of the few teams that doesn't need style points, because if they win all three games, they're in. If they lose one of them, I think they're out. You
I
might
know.
Be right.
I don't know, because right now, if Ohio State misses another game,
that's true.
They are not going to be in the Big Ten title.
True.
And I don't think college football playoff team's going to take. What would they have played, like five or six games at that point? Like,
but at that point, if they get to the SEC championship game and lose to Bama, if A&M is there at 9-1 with A&M the head-to-head over
yeah.
Florida, like, wouldn't they? I mean, they'd go.
They would, but I mean, what's
you'd have
to say Texas A&M doesn't lose another game between now and then?
Like, well, you'd have to rank 9-2 A&M
to like to Tennessee.
You'd have to rank a two-loss A&M team over a two-loss Florida team.
Mm-hmm.
They would have both lost to Alabama, and A&M would be one of the losses for Florida.
Although I do think a lot of people look at that A&M loss for Florida and view it a bit as an anomaly. Mm. I do think if those two teams played 10 times, Florida would probably win 7, maybe 8. But college football, you only get one shot.
Yeah, it's the beauty of it.
I mean, A&M plays Auburn this week, so.
What's the line on that? Isn't it fairly close? Like,
I got a touchdown.
I got in at A&M -3, but right now it's -7.
Oh, wow. Hmm. That's a big move.
I'm not sure about Florida, how they play this weekend. I mean, we are so abysmal. Mm-hmm. Like, in a weird way, like, how do you get excited to play Tennessee right now if you're Florida? And maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it might not, but I was just curious what you're thinking.
You know, road trip. It is 3:30 CBS. I really don't think that matters.
Dan Mullen will be fired up for this game, right? I mean, it's
maybe
it's to a guy to a
he's
to a,
weird. He's like excited about every game.
Well, I just mean to a coach. The coaches are obviously older than the players. To a coach, I think just the appeal of the game, being Florida Tennessee would mean more.
I don't know, but weather could play a pretty big role. Florida not used to that many cold games. I know it's not going to be like...
Yeah, I think around 40.
Yeah, it's not going to be blistering or anything, but... So, is it supposed to rain or anything?
I mean...
It could. It's not technically supposed to rain at the moment. It'll rain before the game.
A&M, their remaining games at Auburn, at Tennessee, and then hosting Ole Miss. Ole Miss and Auburn could easily beat them, in my opinion.
25% chance of rain Saturday.
So you think like a
high of 50 now? So yeah, never mind. Florida probably look like $1 million. I think Tennessee can score on Florida. I mean, not enough, but I don't know. Can you get after Trask? Like, their offensive line's good, not great. Is this finally a game where Pruitt just lights up a quarterback instead of just sitting back in cover two?
I know Dan wants to get Kyle a Heisman.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to keep pushing to score.
Sure.
Even if they don't technically need the style points, they're still going to want them. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. Does our defense just give up? That'd be bad.
I don't think so. I could see a sleepy start. Mm-hmm. Like, Tennessee hangs around for a quarter and a half, two quarters, and then Florida kind of realizes, okay, here's what we have to do to win. And, you know, they pull away late. Or they could just absolutely rail us and go ahead and cut the head off this thing. I'm not there yet. It's Tuesday. I'm trying to convince myself of ways that Tennessee can win.
Why?
Because it's Optimism Tuesday. That's what I just said.
Yeah.
We're due. There it is.
We're due.
We're due, Dave.
We're due to get hot. Don't be afraid to get hot.
New quarterback.
Maybe.
New quarterback.
Possibly.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen, man. Mm-hmm. Feeling good.
Apparently, Pruitt's only on the hot seat with extreme fans.
Who said that?
Yeah, wait, what?
Message board poster. Mm. Vol for Life. Extreme fan.
What is that? So the people who care the most and watch the most? Like, what?
Yeah, I thought that was a funny way to put it.
People who don't care about Tennessee football at all don't want him fired. That's good. That's a good take there.
Right.
I'm okay. Mm.
Hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll come back. Final segment of the program.
What the hell are we doing here?
Final segment of the program.
Optimism Tuesday.
Yep. Yep.
I thought I did all right. I didn't say good. I said all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I only got one call to be banned, so that's progress.
Do you think we've been harder on Pruitt because of Dooley and Butch? Because last year,
every coach pays for the sins of those who come before him.
But last year we were saying we were easier, or 2 years ago especially, we were saying we were going to be easier on Pruitt because Butch was so bad.
Yes, I think you get that first year, year and a half, 2 years, kind of like a, okay, we're gonna let you have kind of time to turn it around. But I think we're just so familiar with what bad looks like and sounds like that once you get to that point where the progress isn't going the way we thought it would go, we start to see the red flags that we've seen before. Fair or unfair, yeah.
I'll go against that notion. I mean, at least for my own standpoint, I wasn't necessarily singing his praises. I don't think I was dogging him too hard last year. I was just like, I mean, this isn't great by any stretch of the imagination. It's good that, yeah, we've strung these wins together, but my biggest point, like all last year, was like, okay, that's good. That's good momentum moving forward. We didn't beat a good team, but maybe we'll get to see something this year. And I wouldn't have been as hard on him this year if I saw him actually try to make changes, but the fact that he's like stuck in his ways and not adapting, to go back to your point an hour or two, Nate, where it's like adapt or die, and it's, you know what, this doesn't work at all, but we're going to continue to do the exact same thing and hope it does change. That's where a lot of my frustration comes from. And now we're 7 games behind us for this season, and we got 2 against really what I would consider 2 top 5 teams in the country, even though 1-5, 1-6. And the fact that we're having to say, well, you know what, if he can beat Vanderbilt, he can keep his job. Like, the fact that that's your litmus test at all, it just goes ahead and tells me you're not a good coach and you don't deserve to have this job in the first place.
Well, I asked the question not because I thought there was a right or wrong answer. I asked the question because I think we were giving him more grace out of the gate, and I'm trying to decide if I've taken that away because I'm so frustrated at the administration. So maybe I need to correctly place my blame, like, equally, like, Pruitt gets his part and then Fulmer gets his part for the extension and the how much they've just messed up the whole like COVID pay stuff. Or is it just that Pruitt and this team this season, specifically this season, but I guess there's a little sprinkle of that Georgia State BYU feeling, has just been so bad. Like, if they had been, we said they had to win the first 2. Somehow they did that, and they've still been just abysmal since.
I mean, they're setting records for worst team
futility.
Ever. Yeah, like it.
What's our season high of points? 35? Did we score 35 or 30? Was it 35 or 35
against Missouri, I think.
Florida's lowest is 34. Good Lord. Twice. In wins.
Yeah, yeah.
Naturally. Their one loss, they scored 38.
Mm-hmm. So I can't decide if I'm being harder on Pruitt because of Butch and Dooley or if I'm just being hard on Pruitt because he sucks. Because, I mean, the results are just so bad. Like, Georgia State, BYU this season, I mean, Kentucky, Arkansas. I mean, Davies chronicled how all the teams we beat are awful. I mean, Indiana's the one exception to that. Of course, they didn't have their quarterback. I mean, Pruitt's best win is still back in year 1, and we're almost done with year 3. Like, when you hire a new coach, I kind of hope their best win is always in the season you're in, like every year.
Yeah.
You kind of hope that you have a best year win from year 1.
Or at least a comparable win, yeah.
No matter how good it is. And then in year 2, you have a win that's better than that one, or at least the same, like you're saying. We're about to finish year, like, unless he beats Florida or A&M, he's not going to have a win since year 1 that's even close to the Auburn win.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the last 2 years, he's put together probably 2 of the worst losses of any coach in the last...
Well, Georgia State's the worst loss in school history.
Yeah, I'm going that one and then Kentucky this year.
Yeah.
Because it was...
It was so bad.
It wasn't even competitive.
And they're really disappointed in their season, too. It's not like they've been good.
They're 3-6. So, Missouri, like, they've strung together some wins here, but they're not going to end the season with a winning record. So, to not beat a team with the winning record this year, on top of even if you can get to 3 wins, like we're talking about playing 10 games, and if you can get to 3 wins, like that's pretty bad.
Yeah, can we get to 3?
I mean,
wins?
Janeway says we'd have been 4-8 or 5-7 in a regular year. I guess the Troy game would have been the flipper on that because we'd have won the 3 games we expect to win this year plus Furman. We'd have lost Oklahoma,
Charlotte. Would beat Charlotte, right?
Yeah.
So,
but
we only played 8 SEC games.
We'd have played a less. Okay, right. So we'd be missing an SEC
We wouldn't have picked
win.
Up Arkansas or Auburn. Wouldn't have lost them. We didn't play them.
There you go. COVID year showing us true colors of our coaches.
What a great optimism. Better for Tuesday. Worse.
Yeah, and this is also supposed to be the best coaching staff around a Tennessee coach that we've had since Fulmer.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Does seem like he's well insulated.
Yeah, good point by you, Davey. We'll come back tomorrow. The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in right here for more Fan Run Radio.